This is the Mormon Mixed Faith Marriage Podcast with Certified Life Coach Brooke Booth, episode number 121. This is part two of a three-part podcast series on mixed faith marriages and the impacts patriarchy has on those marriages. Last time we talked about just the general experience a man having a faith transition may be different than the general experience a woman has when she experiences a faith transition. This time we're going to talk about something that's more specific to women and not even specific to women who've had a faith transition. I see this happen to women who've had a faith transition and spouses who have not had a faith transition who are very much believing. I see what I'm about to describe, this is just a woman thing and not a faith transition thing. But I think it comes up when there's been a faith transition because things are being talked about, things are coming up. Oftentimes a faith transition in a mixed faith marriage shakes the container, the marriage container enough that other issues that need to be addressed are now being addressed. And this is one of them. Okay. And this is women's anger and women's rage. And when I use those words, I am not meaning that this is a bad thing. I am not using these in any sort of negative or pejorative sense. I am just using these as a descriptor of what is happening and what women are experiencing. And I think it's valid. And I think it's really important to look at and be aware of. So I meet many women, as I said earlier, believing or not, faith transition or very, very active, who are angry. They have rage. They are frustrated about, you know, what's going on in their marriage and in their life and how they're treated. And they don't really know how to deal with the rage and anger. And sometimes it doesn't even present as outright rage and anger. It can just be a deep sense of disconnectedness or a deep sense of sadness or frustration. Because often rage and anger are just labeled so inappropriate. And that it can feel very, very dangerous, or at the very least, highly unattractive to display rage and to feel anger. And they often don't know what to do with it, but it's not going away. So this is what I want to talk about. If you're just like, and is just not going away, maybe this will be helpful. Maybe you can relate to some things that we're going to talk about here. So I was listening to a therapist talk about this recently, and the way she said it, I thought was really helpful. So I'm going to paraphrase what she said. She said that the intensity of your anger and rage is directly proportional to your exploitation that you're receiving in your environment. And she talks about something called direct exploitation, which is you're probably very familiar with when basically people demand that you exploit yourself. You know, you sacrifice you and your needs for their comfort over and over and over again. The less obvious, but more common way exploitation happened is something my term is trained exploitation. And we learn this in childhood. This is where you learn, and this is something I certainly did. I learned to sacrifice my voice, my autonomy, my needs, and my wants in exchange for safety. I made myself small, approvable, to be safe, safe in my family, safe in my ward, safe in eternity, safe with God, safe with my husband. Now, when I'm using the word safe, I'm not talking about not getting hit. I'm talking about safe in the terms of safe means acceptable. Safe means there's room for me. Safe means I'm included in the group. Safe means I'm not rocking the boat. Safe means I'm getting blessings. Safe means I'm meeting milestones. And in many regards, safety will override all of it, all other things. Our need for safety will override our desire for our wants and our needs and our autonomy to be exercised. And so we practice, we get into patterns of behavior where we stay safe by managing those things outside of us. So you may stay safe by managing your parents, by managing your leaders, later your spouse, even your children. Now this sets one up for exploitation. I'm now going to sacrifice my voice, my autonomy, my wants, my needs to keep those around me comfortable and approving of me so I can feel safe. So this exploitation we're talking about isn't, you know, we're not talking about like slavery, but we're definitely talking about where you find yourself in exploitative relationships, whether that's at work, church, callings, in your own relationship. And hear me on this. As a woman, I'm complicit in this. I'm complicit in this exploitation, but it's exploitation nonetheless, where I am consistently putting my needs below everybody else's, where I'm consistently putting everybody else's needs and comforts and schedules and careers or whatever it may be above my own. Now, surprise, surprise, this leads to some anger and rage over time. Now, for a long time, there might not be rage or anger. There could be well, this is just how it is. I'm happy to do this. There could be some numbness for quite a long period of time. But I see this, eventually the dam breaks. Eventually the dam breaks. Different ages for different people, but generally late 30s, early 40s, women hit a wall. And then what to do with that? I mean, the rage and the anger can be so unsettling because it's just so unacceptable to express that when you are socialized as a woman. So let's tie this into a mixed faith marriage just for a minute. If the woman is having a faith transition, this might be part of that. Like she might be expressing a lot of anger and rage and frustration just as naturally as part of her faith transition. And it could be sort of lumped in with this. And it could be fueling that rage and frustration. But I see this too with, like I said earlier, the believing wife. Her husband's faith transition may just feel like another thing where she is discounted and ignored and overlooked, and her wants and needs are not considered. And it can create a very similar deep, deep hurt and deep, deep anger. So what to do with it, right? This is the real question. You see it, the cycle, you could probably understand it, maybe relate to it. What to do with it? Being aware of a pattern is really job one. Like just developing awareness of the pattern and what's going on, why you're feeling the way you're feeling, why you're acting the way you're acting. It's not because you're a mean person. It's not because you need to just stop being angry, but there are real reasons for that. And that can be some time to do some emotional work to really acknowledge and process through emotions that maybe you've been feeling for some time now and just never gave yourself permission to name and explore and to allow. Could be some time to do some thought work. What needs to be reframed and redefined for you, for what's okay with you, for what's okay with what you want to, how you want to participate in relationships. Tied in with this might be boundaries. Do you need to stop doing certain things? Start doing certain things. One client I had decided she needed to pursue more creative pursuits that she had been very systematically putting on the back burner. Some need to stop doing their husband's laundry. It's very diverse. There's certainly not one size fits all here. Something else that often needs to, like in the what to do category, something to be considered is oftentimes when there's been long periods of exploitation. And again, I recognize women are often complicit in this, but there still needs to be some healing and some rebuilding of trust after this awareness and cycle comes to light. And this rebuilding of trust can take time. Then it can be a process that takes a lot of patience and a lot of understanding from both spouses. I want you to consider the rage and the anger are important. They're telling you something. You're not crazy. It could just be that you're socialized as female and that a lot goes along with that that needs to be looked at, processed, questioned, and reframed. And this is work I'm doing in my own life for sure. Like I'm in the trenches here. I have my own tendencies that have allowed me to be exploited in order for me to create, and I would say it's probably a false sense of safety, you know, this sense of approval. And I've been doing my own work on this, really learning how to reclaim my own autonomy, my own needs, my wants, to process through all of the emotions surrounding the anger and rage, to learn how to stop the exploitation and really readjust the roles and tasks that might be in my marriage. And to ask my husband to really think fundamentally different about who we are as individuals in our marriage. This is not easy work, but it's really important work. If you are a woman in her late 30s, early 40s, or whatever age you might be when this happens to you, I mean, sometimes I see it in the 50s, sometimes I definitely see it even in the 20s. But if you are a woman who is, you know, as part of her mixed faith marriage, there just seems to be, or your wife, there seems to be a lot of anger and raging. And it may be something you're just experiencing internally and not really expressing a lot externally. I want you to consider some of the things that I talked about in this podcast. It might be time to do some inner work on this. It might be time to really address some of the structures in your marriage that might be perpetuating this. If you need help with this, this is one of my specialties. I mean, I have a special certification in advanced feminist coaching. That doesn't mean I hate men. That's not what it means at all. Just means I have some extra training to help see the patterns and cycles that can be hurting relationships due to how we're socialized, whether that's as men or that's as women. If you want help with this, go ahead and reach out to me at brookboothcoaching.com and just grab one of my free calls and let's see what you're experiencing. And let's see if I can help you work through that and help you gain some perspective and understanding of what's going on so that your relationship is not, you know, sacrificed on the altar of what you may be experiencing. All right. Wishing you the very best in your mixed faith marriage.